they'd been with the Cubs or the Giants, and they're the ones that kind of helped me along. But they didn't do that much of that in those years. You had to kind of pick up things yourself and do it yourself. Mm-hmm.
So you did that mostly by observation and trying to copy what others and ask a lot of questions?
That's right. You had to observe all these. We had some good pitchers on the club, George Yulee, Laura Miller, and Joe Sheyute. They were all veterans, and I would ask questions, but they didn't bother with me too much about stopping to help me and all that. But I got it all from observing them when they were on the mound, especially George Yulee. George Yulee was a type pitcher that he threw four pitches of fastball, change-up curve, change-up fastball, and a slider. Not too much of a slider, but a pretty good hard-breaking curveball. And he'd change up on every pitch. So he had change-ups on every type pitch he had.
Wow.
And I used to watch him pitch all the time. And during the season, he was really successful against the Yankees, Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig, and those great teams of the Yankees. And that's how he pitched. He got Babe Ruth out quite easy with his changeups. And that's what I always watched, and I remembered every bit about it. So that's when I started pitching regular, I knew that I had to have a curveball and a changeup to get by with the major league hitters. It didn't take me long to get the changeup, but it took me a little longer to develop a curveball.
In 1929, you were sent down to New Orleans for a while. Is that right?
Well, yes. Yeah. I didn't go down there until August 1st. Well, the season was pretty close to being over.
Mm-hmm.
New Orleans was a farm club for the Cleveland Indians, and they were in a pennant race with Birmingham, and they needed another pitcher for the pennant run. So the Indians decided to send me down there. So I went down there on August 1st, and I won 7 and lost 2 in the next 6 weeks. And New Orleans lost the pennant by 1 game. So we were right up to the pennant race, right to the
very end.
Series, yeah.
Now, when they sent you down, was it with the understanding that you'd be up the next year, or was it left up in the air?
No, they sent me down, and they told me that I'd be down there the rest of the season for New Orleans, which would be 6 weeks. As soon as the season was over, down in New Orleans, I came back to Cleveland, and I joined the Indians September 1st. The middle of September, and finished the season with Cleveland.
So going to the minors was not a blow to your confidence,
it
was for a specific reason.
In fact, in 29, I was doing is relief pitching for the Indians, and sometimes I wouldn't pitch for maybe a week, 10 days, maybe even more. And I was kind of happy to get sent down because I was able to pitch. I was pitching regularly down there, and I was doing all right. And I had quite a bit of experience just from being down there and pitching those 6 weeks.
When you first came up, you said your best pitch was your slider. Then was that always the case throughout your career, or did you develop a good fastball, and how did that curve come along?
Well, my fastball was the slider. I mean, not a slider, but the sinker.
Yeah.
I always had the sinker. But I never had much of a curveball when I was at Omaha or Dubuque. And when I joined Cleveland, I watched these major league pitchers work, and I knew that I had to learn how to throw a curveball. I had a little curveball, but not enough to make it a effective against the good hitters. And I started working on it when I came back to Cleveland in 1928. And I worked on it for the entire year, 28 and 29. About the middle of the year, I finally started to develop a good curveball, a real good curveball. And I was working on change of paces and working like that. And then in 1930 is when Cleveland first started me to pitch regular. I won 11 games in 1930. And the curveball and the changeup and everything helped me when I started pitching against the major league hitters as a starter.
Was there any one in particular that helped you develop those pitches, or again, was it just a matter of observation and hard work?
Mostly observation and hard work, because I taught myself the curveball because I watched George Uhle and Ted Lyons of the White Sox. Ted Lyons was a great pitcher. I really admired him. And I watched those fellas pitch, and I knew that I had to develop that curveball. And I watched their arms all the time, and I knew what to do. And I would practice a lot. Instead of just standing around in the outfield at Lee Park with that big concrete wall out there, I'd take a ball and I'd throw it against the concrete wall and it'd come right back to me again. And I'd just keep throwing curveballs out there during practice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it helped me to develop curveball. And change pace is the same way. A lot of practice.
Yeah. Who were your roommates in those days?
Oh, my first roommate was down in New Orleans with a pitcher that reported to the Indians. His name was Evans. And he was just like I was, just green as they make him. Rookie. And we roomed together in spring training. And then in the season, at the start of the 1928 season, we got back to Cleveland. And then we went on the road, and my first roommate on the road was Joe Sewell, the shortstop.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Sewell. And I was I was surprised at having a roommate, but I really enjoyed it. I was only a roommate of Joe Sewell for the first couple of weeks of the season when I was on the road. And then I roomed with rookie named Eddie Montague. We roomed together for a couple years until he was sent out in 1931 or 32, I think it was. He was a utility infielder. But rooming with Joe Sewell was quite a thrill.
Yeah. Future Hall of Famer.
Yep.
What was train travel like? And hear so many great stories about the ball players on the train, so, or was it more glamorized than it really was?
Well, it was just the way we traveled, and it's the only way we knew, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have any planes in to ride in, or fly in, rather. but it was all traveling by train, and you get used to it. Mm-hmm. You take it, because if you didn't take the train, you wouldn't get
you didn't get there.
But the rookies were always in an upper berth. I slept in their upper berth for a couple of years on all the trips. And then when I started to pitch regular, I finally got a berth down below.
That must have been the day you knew you'd really made it.
Made the club, yeah.
Yeah.
Now we travel by train all the time, and mostly trips are at night, especially going east, and then west, they're all at night. And the only short trip was between Cleveland and Detroit. That was only a 3-hour ride.
Right.
We traveled sometimes on the boat that would go from Cleveland to Detroit, and then also they had what they call the express to Detroit and back to Cleveland. It took 3 hours. traveled by at night to Detroit, which was, only 3 hours, right?
Right. When did the Indians then start converting to airline travel? Was that mid or late 50s?
Well, when Bill Beck bought the ball club in 46, and we went, we started the train, spring training in Tucson. We went to Tucson in 47. And we still traveled by train. Again in 48, we made some exhibition trips down to the border, Mexico and Arizona there. And Bill Beck hired a plane to fly us down there. It was one of those smaller planes that would seat only maybe about 25 or something like that. And we fly down to these little towns in there, lower Arizona and northern Mexico. Fly right back to Tucson. We land in some of those small airports, and when we had to turn the plane around, why, the players had turned it around.
Wow. Now, as the, of course, the years developed, airline travel must have gotten a little bit better. I don't suppose you had to turn too many planes around in the major airports.
Oh, no, we when we went to Pacific Coast for exhibition games, when we first train down in Tucson, we'd take the train over to Los Angeles. But then in the 50s, we started flying.
Now, which did you like better then?
Well, I never did. Well, I mean, I always liked to go by train, but flying was so easy. You know?
Yeah.
And you'd leave Tucson for the coast, and you'd be over there in an hour, and that was quite a deal.
Did the social makeup of the club change when you went from trains to planes simply because you weren't spending as much time with each other, or in those days everybody was still as sociable as they were before?
Yes, it never changed like that. Of course, when we were traveling train, the fellows would have their poker games and on the train as soon as they got on it and start a poker game. And that lasted for quite a while when we traveled by train. But when we started train by go by plane, no, everybody was still sociable and got together all the time. And, we talked a lot on the plane, and we even played cards on the plane.
Yeah. Well, that's good to hear. Besides New Orleans and Tucson, where else did you have spring training?
We trained in New Orleans from 1928 to 1939, and then in 1940 we moved to Florida. We moved to Fort Myers, Florida, and we trained out in Fort Myers for 2 years. And in 42 we moved to Clearwater, and we stayed in Clearwater until 1946, and that's when Bill Beck bought the ball club, and we left Clearwater for Tucson.
So during the war years, then, the Indians didn't get caught up with the travel restrictions that some of the clubs did. I've read where they had to keep their spring trainings in the north.
Well, that was during 44, 45, somewhere in there. I believe it was that. We trained at Purdue University in Indiana, and that was only for 2 years.
Right. Now, was that a whole different experience?